You are listening to Shining a Light on Memory Loss, 30 powerful minutes aimed at helping you and your family better understand a topic that touches everyone in our community in some way. Shining a Light on Memory Loss is sponsored by the Benson Area Memory Loss Network.
Hello and welcome. This is Laura Thomas. I'm a member of the Benson Area Memory Loss Network and your host for the show. In our last episode, we heard from Dr. Richard Horeca about some of the warning signs of memory loss, practical information about dementia, and how small lifestyle choices, even early in our lives, contribute to our long-term brain health. The episode can be found at bensonradio.com/memory loss. Today, we are grateful to be joined by another local expert, certified nurse practitioner Sue Zack. We'll learn about the role that family and caregivers play in the memory loss journey and the options for care as the disease progresses. Sue, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us and share your expertise today. If a family member has concerns about possible memory loss with a loved one, what should they do?
Well, I think the first thing people need to do is kind of track what's going on, maybe log what some of their concerns are. And it's nice to have that with you so you can remember better when you go to see a provider. And what the provider would be able to do then is look at your concerns, be able to do some labs, some discussion, and see if there's anything else that could be causing, you know, some confusion or memory loss. And then you can develop a plan together from there.
Great. So you mentioned tracking some of the concerns that you have. So What are some specific examples of what concerns that families should be communicating to their provider?
So, for example, it can be sometimes it's not remembering names. Sometimes you'll see a change most obviously is probably in their daily activities. So, for example, a loved one goes to make dinner, but then realizes they've never turned the oven on to cook the meal. You may see some really subtle changes that, for example, they're not taking baths anymore, not toileting themselves well or cleaning themselves well. Things like not cleaning out refrigerators, some of the basic things that they've done routinely, and those things have really changed for them.
So when is the right time to bring those concerns to the provider?
I think the right time, as soon as you notice those things. So the provider can then kind of, like I said, go over the concerns with you, rule out any other factors that may be causing some of those changes, and then develop a plan and see what resources are available in town. Most people like to stay in their own home as long as they can, and we're fortunate here that we have a lot of resources we can look into to help with that.
That's right, and we are going to talk about those a little later on in our interview. So it sounds like when we're talking about noticing concerns or noticing changes, it is important to keep in mind the person's baseline. So for one person, not cleaning out the fridge, well, that might be something they're maybe not a real housekeeper. But for someone else who's always been tidy and then suddenly the family is noticing those changes, that might be a real concern.
Absolutely. So it's really looking for those things that are out of their normal routine.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we talk about bringing those concerns to the provider. What is the best way to communicate those concerns? Would it be calling ahead to let the provider know what you've been noticing, sending an email? Sue, what do you recommend?
Well, I think you can always contact the provider. Like I said, I believe knowing what we're going to be looking at and any particular triggers for that loved one that may upset them or be bothersome, it's always nice to know that, you know, prior to the visit. And then you have a little time to talk to the family and be able to say, you know, these are the things we're going to plan to do at the visit today. And sometimes we need to make it, a longer visit than a shorter visit when we're dealing with some of those concerns.
Mm-hmm. Sue, you mentioned if you've noticed a trigger for some different behavior. Maybe you could give an example of what, a specific example of that and how it might look.
Well, I think for example, when they come into the office, you know, some people are really accepting and notice that there's been some changes and that there's been a concern about that, and they're very open to looking at what services and what we can do to help them improve their memory and their ability to stay safely at home. Other people may have, you know, this topic or issue may be a huge trigger to them, and they're not accepting or looking for changes, don't believe some of this is going on, and are actually can be quite upset with family members for having them come. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important that the patient knows why they're coming to that visit. And like I said, being able to talk to them before is nice as well, so they know what to kind of prepare for and what might they experience at that visit.
Memory loss affects everyone in our community in one way or another. Let's hear a little bit more about what's available in our community.
I'm Michelle Sonneben, a member of the Benson Area Memory Loss Network, and I'm the discharge planner at Benson Hospital. Discharge planning is a service to help you arrange supplies, equipment, and services before you leave the hospital. If you or someone you care about are having problems with memory loss, we encourage you to see your provider at Swift County Benson Health Services. If you are looking for resources in our community on how to care for someone with memory loss, contact Michelle Sonneben at the Swift County Benson Hospital, 843-1377.
Hi, my name's Lindsay, and I'm an RN for Divine Home Care. As a whole, home care workers provide a vital role in helping people with memory loss to remain as independent as possible, enabling them to stay in their familiar surroundings with their family and caregivers. Regardless of why your loved one is experiencing memory loss, we're here to help. We offer a variety of services to provide support to caregivers, families, and those experiencing memory loss. For more information, please contact Divine Home Care at 843-917. Or online at divinehomecare.com.
This is Betty Christensen from the Minnesota River Area Agency on Aging. We are happy to be members of the Benson Area Memory Loss Network. Our office assists communities to develop services to help older adults remain in their own home as long as possible. More information can be found by calling our office at 507-387-1256 or on our website at mnraaa.org.
Hi, this is Maggie from Countryside Public Health, where our mission is to facilitate a safe and healthy future for the residents of the counties we serve. I'm glad you're taking this opportunity to learn about dementia as we strive together to improve our understanding of each other and make our community stronger and more supportive of people struggling with memory loss, as well as their caregivers, friends, and families.
We return now for more of Laura's interview with Sue Zack on Shining a Light on Memory Loss.
So, Sue, do you have any thoughts or ideas on how to start a conversation with the loved one about some changes that you've been noticing?
Sure. I think generally you are direct and bring it up gently. So, you know, it's okay to say, you know, Mom, I've noticed that it might be harder to be taking a bath these days. You know, what can we do to help you? Or ask them, you know, is there anything that you're having a harder time doing today? How can we help you manage that better? What would be helpful to you? So I think people know what will be helpful for them. And again, that's a great thing to bring to a visit because then everybody can work together on a plan.
Well, what wonderful ideas for starting those conversations. It really sure sounds like a positive approach. And I suppose when the patient is involved from the beginning, it's easier mm-hmm. to talk to the provider together.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So would you say then that it's a good idea for a family member or a loved one to go along to the provider appointments?
That is so helpful. There's nothing better than a second set of ears when we visit. And it just can help reinforce and clarify things for people if they have questions after, family members or patients. So absolutely, always good to have somebody else with you.
Great. Now, let's talk about what families can do to be helpful in caring for their loved one with memory loss. What are some of the suggestions that your patients have found most helpful?
Oh, I think initially some of the things that are most helpful are getting a calendar and making sure you're logging different activities. And family members are very helpful in following along with those and maybe giving mom or dad a call the day before an appointment is scheduled. If they're not able to remember those things, then a call again in the morning of that appointment. It's mainly just helping them through and try to remember what the next step is. And we find that people can do a lot of things very independently, but helpful a family can be there to support and guide you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. So if the majority of a family is living long distance, are there things that they can do remotely or where they're at to help their loved one, maybe a parent that's living a distance away?
Sure. I think it's important to, make contact with them on a regular basis. Knowing that a loved one is going to call on Mondays and Fridays, sometimes you can see changes even in the conversation if you can just visit once or twice a week with them. We have lots of great services, as we'll be talking about, but certainly family members can contact facilities, home care. There's many support systems in the area. And see what is available and if they would be interested in maybe having somebody more locally be checking on them. Certainly if there's other relatives or friends or that are close by and able to and willing to check in, that can be a good source for families as well if they live a distance.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned friends checking in or neighbors or others in the community. What are some ways that they may be able to help or offer some assistance?
I think the biggest assistance is just an eye close by. So mainly it's seeing, is everything going okay? If they're able to stop by, like I said, once or twice a week, and see if those changes are going on. Do they need anything? Just visiting with somebody, that can be really good for your memory as well. If you can sit and have that chat and reminisce on the past times and fun events in your life, that's very helpful for people as well.
Great. So we know that dementia is a progressive disease that moves from mild to moderate to severe. As the disease progresses, it becomes harder for the family to provide the care that is needed. When is a good time to start home care or to start considering home care?
So I think if people have noticed those changes or noticed that there's an inability to follow through with their routines at home, that's probably the time to connect with home care. And so there's somebody monitoring. There's somebody that can help with some of those basic needs that need to be taken care of at home if family or friends aren't available. And they're an excellent resource. We keep in really close contact with them, and they've been wonderful in reporting any kind of changes or concerns both to family and to the providers.
We'll be right back after we hear from some of the members of the Benson Area Memory Loss Network and what they offer to our community.
Harris Health Rice Hospice understands how important it is for a hospice patient to live with comfort and dignity. Through skilled nursing care, counseling, support, and education, we help patients and families live each day with meaning and purpose. Programs like We Honor Veterans, Sentimental Journey, Pet Therapy, Massage Therapy, and Music Services can help add life to days. Harris Health Rice Hospice serves a 15-county area and has a satellite office in Benson. Visit harrishealth.com/hospice.
Prairie 5 Community Action Council provides aging services to Swift County. We have Alzheimer's Association and AARP community educators for memory loss presentations and written resources. We offer caregiver consultations, Medicare counseling, a tablet lending library, and user services. If you have questions or concerns on aging, don't hesitate to call me, Laura Thomas, at 320-226-8861. Services funded in part by a grant from the Southwest Initiative Foundation.
My name is Shelley Versable with Lutheran Social Service. Caregivers who are caring for someone 60 years of age or older, certified caregiver coaches provide personal caregiver coaching and counseling, help with referrals, education, trainings, emergency care planning, caregiver support groups, grief and loss discussion groups, and regular phone call check-ins. Please consider teaming up with LSS to become a community volunteer today. Your local coordinator phone number is 507-829-3298 and visit our website at lssmn.org.
If you're considering home health care services to assist with personal care, household cleaning, or home nursing, or want to transition into assisted living and don't know where to begin, contact Swift County Human Services to set up a MnChoices assessment. The MnChoices assessment can help determine the services you may be eligible for, assist with access to those services, and identify public programs that might cover those costs. It can also identify other options if you don't qualify for poor publicly funded programs. To see if you're eligible, call Swift County Human Services at 843-3160.
Scandi Haven Village, located in Benson, provides a safe and comfortable living environment for anyone needing specialized memory care services. Our memory care unit offers safe and secure apartments, along with the central dining, living room common areas, and daily activities. Scandi Haven Village has a caring, supportive, and well-trained staff to provide your loved ones with the care they need. For more information or to have a tour, please call Jane Tilkey at 320-843-4728. Scandi Haven Village. Caring for those who cared for us.
We return for the conclusion of Laura's interview with Sue Zack on Shining a Light on Memory Loss.
So, Sue, does the amount of home care sort of vary person to person? Is there, so a person may have some home care come in certain days of the week or maybe 2 hours per week? Or how is that schedule put together?
Absolutely. It's definitely based on the patient need. So you may have somebody who needs assist with dressing every day, or those people may have somebody that comes into a system, on a daily basis, where you have somebody else that their biggest concern or problem or point they're needing the most assistance with is maybe just taking a bath every week. And so it'll be once a week. So there's a number of different services that are available, as well as frequency of services.
Mm-hmm. And so this has me curious. I mean, is there sort of a list that maybe the patient or the person with memory loss goes through with you or with their doctor to kind of identify which services would be most appropriate, or how is that decided?
Absolutely. So So typically when we visit, we kind of go through, you know, what are those hardest things for you to do in a day? What do you have difficulty with? Would it be helpful if somebody could assist you with the bath? We kind of determine what the scope of their needs are and that both the patient and the family feel comfortable with. And then we look at those services. So what would happen if they were interested in home care services coming in, then what happens is your provider actually makes a referral to home care, and home care nursing will come in and do an evaluation and initial assessment and determine what the plan of care might be for that person. Is it a bath once weekly? Is it somebody coming in 3 times a week to monitor medications? Do they need some physical or occupational therapy for strengthening? We can do some memory assessments along the way with occupational therapy. So there's a number of different resources that are available, and like you said, it's very individual to each person.
Oh, what a wonderful resource to have available. Thanks for sharing more about that with us, Sue. As we talk about memory loss progressing, when is it time to consider maybe a different living situation?
So when you're feeling like home care or family coming in just isn't enough. So things like frequent falls, not eating, weight loss, physical changes. Sometimes people come in with urinary tract infections, you know, feeling feverish, more confused. And that's kind of a signal that maybe things are moving on and a little more direct supervision would be needed. And so often people at that time will look to an assisted living setting.
So what advice do you have when families are moving a loved one into an assisted living facility?
So I think the best thing is that people need to look around and decide what kind of environment fits, because every assisted living offers a little bit of a unique product. And, you know, ask the questions. You walk in the door, you'll get a, most people get a feeling of, you know what, this is the right place, this is the right setting. We have large assisted livings. We have smaller assisted livings, and what's appropriate? How, with help, do we think that person would be able to manage in an independent apartment with help from the 24-hour staff available at assisted livings, or are they not really safe there, and maybe we need to look towards a memory care unit? And a lot of times people need to look at, are they comfortable if that memory care piece is not there? Moving to a different facility. So some assisted livings will have just they live independently with assistance from staff, and we're more in a secured memory care unit. They have the one-on-one staff throughout the day and night. So somebody is always with them in that unit.
Besides the kind of one-on-one staff attention in a memory loss unit, how else might that differ from an assisted living facility living situation?
The one-on... So I should correct that. I shouldn't say it's one-on-one because it's not always one-on-one in a memory care unit. But
So maybe I'll ask the question a little bit differently then.
Okay.
So what are some of the differences between an assisted living facility and a memory care unit?
Sure. So in an assisted living facility, people move in, and what they're providing is 24-hour services. So that means if you need help toileting in the middle of the night, staff is available to help you do that. But they're not there 24 hours or in, that's hard to explain. Staff is there 24 hours. They have nursing services typically at night that are an on-call RN service. So if there's any changes or concerns that happen during the night. But people live really pretty independently and just receive assistance with the particular services they need. That might be medication setup weekly. That might be assisting with medications daily. Some people need assistance with insulin injections. It may be eye drops. It may be assist with bathing or assist with laundry. So it's short time periods that will have staffing available. And that would be more the assisted living. When you go into a memory care unit, those are typically what they call secured units, and they'll have staff that's there. It's a smaller environment, and you'll have staff there 24 hours a day that can help and oversee people.
All right. So is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that, you know, if you're having any of these issues or concerns, is going to your provider and saying, hey, we're seeing these things now, and we feel like mom or dad are doing well and can live in their home, but, you know, it's all about preparation. And the nice thing is, if you're addressing some of these things early, really your loved one can be a big part of making the decisions for themselves in looking towards, you know, they may say, gee, I want to, if I ever have to go to assisted living, this is the one that I want to go to. If I ever have the next concern, this is what I want to do. And it's really reassuring to both patients and families that they're doing what their loved one would like. So I think it's important to get in with any concerns early and start working through the processes and develop a plan that can maintain them safely at home or whatever direction, and with home care, assisted living, or if they need memory care units.
Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today, Sue. We really appreciate it. Wow, what great information that was. When Sue mentioned how valuable reminiscing with a loved one can be, I immediately thought of a perfect tool that's located right in our Benson Public Library. They have over 40 memory kits. These memory kits facilitate conversation and remembering old times with loved ones. There's a farming memory kit. It has models of three different tractors, a manure spreader, a baler, there are bags of seeds, and even a couple farming magazines. These memory kits can be checked out. There's even a conversation guide inside to start wonderful reminiscing and sharing. Sue mentioned the important role that occupational therapy plays in the memory loss journey. Our next episode will feature an occupational therapist and a speech therapist from Big Stone Therapies who will share what they have to offer in the memory loss journey. If you missed any part of today's show, or to catch up on past episodes, just head over to bensonradio.com/memory loss.
The Benson Area Memory Loss Network thanks you for joining us today. please reach out to any member with questions, concerns, or for more information. You may also call the Alzheimer's Association at 800-272-3900. This line is answered 24/7 by a master's level clinician.